Jam! Hello again and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network, well, where we are consummate professionals.
I'm sorry.
We are totally professional and good at this game. I am Chewy.
Hey, Chewy, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, it turns out. And joining me this week is Clues.
Hey, big shout out to all of our listeners in New Hampshire.
Is that an area code, I'm guessing?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Is.
Squee could not be with us this week because he's currently, he's in Gotham, apparently?
That's the claim.
Yeah. Not the TV show. The movies.
Well, it would be really interesting if he couldn't show up some week because he was taping, you know, the TV show.
Yeah. But no, he's in Chicago for some manner of work thing. So he's been walking around sampling all of Chicagoing things. I'm pretty sure he got mugged earlier. So hey, that's just sample all the local flavors.
Yeah, checks out.
Yeah. So, I think he's going to be a corrupt politician by the time he comes home. It'll be great.
Look, there's more than just corrupt politicians in Chicago. There's corrupt former politicians.
Wait.
And corrupt future politicians. I think some people aren't involved in politics. Look, I don't really know. I stay out of Chicago most of the time.
Paging Mayor Daley, paging. Anyway.
But if you are in Chicago, you should take the South Shore Line, the last existing interurban electric railroad in the United States.
Well, there you go, then.
Goes from Chicago to South Bend, Indiana, and a couple of points in between. You do kind of pass through Gary, but try and keep your eyes closed during that part.
Poor Gary.
Yeah, that's one way to phrase it.
I used to work with a Gary, and I would not want to pass through him.
If you are a listener from Gary, I'm sorry.
What about Muncie?
Yeah, I got nothing against Muncie.
Isn't that where Bob Ross is from?
I don't actually know.
All right, well, I'll let you Google that. So,
all right, you carry on. I'll be right with you.
This is Monday Night Magic number 603. This is what happens when we don't have Bill here to keep us in line. We just spend the entire beginning of the show making fun of a city and another city.
Why did you think he was from Muncie?
There's something about Muncie, Indiana that goes with Bob Ross.
Well, Bob Ross was born in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Bob Ross, Muncie.
I think that you made this up.
Maybe I did. Okay, wait. Control F.
Oh, well.
The show's first season was initially produced in Falls Church, Virginia, and then in Muncie, Indiana, from 1984 until the show ended in 1994. Oh, so it was produced
all
in
right.
Muncie,
there
Indiana.
There is a Muncie connection. All right, I'll just add that to the possible show titles.
The Muncie Connection.
The Muncie Connection.
Anyway, right, back on topic. This is not the Bob Ross podcast. We record that on Wednesdays. So
that's right.
This is Monday Night Magic, where we talk about magic. And the big news is the Banned and Restricted List update. Now, because, spoilers, a Krark Clan Ironworks deck actually won the Grand Prix, there were people losing their mind about why it should be banned, because that's what happens when a deck wins.
Yep.
And it's not one of, like, the three decks that some people like. Other people call for it to be banned. I don't understand, but...
Which is why we immediately banned Sensei's Divining Top the first time a Miracles deck won a Legacy tournament.
The very first time.
Very first time, like, 6 years later, we totally banned that. The wheels of justice grind slowly, or to a halt. Yes, to a halt. But hey, this banned and restricted announcement, as of today, April the 16th, 2018. Super important banned and restricted announcement. Now, this thing is so important and so detailed. We apologize, but we are going to have to read it in its entirety. Now, look, I know if you've already seen it, you've already heard this, but there's a bunch of people who probably haven't. So here we go. Okay, strap in, maybe get a drink, make sure you're well rested.
Are you reading this or am I?
I was going to read this.
Okay.
If you'd like to. Okay. Okay. So just, you know, listen to my soothing voice. Just let it kind of lull you into a happy place. Here we go.
Yeah, this is Clues' date. Non-ASMR ASMR reading.
I can whisper and weave back and forth to the opposite side of my microphone, but it's in mono, so it won't change anything. Okay. Announcement date, April 16th, 2018. All formats, no changes. The list of all banned and restricted cards by format is here, which is followed by a link. I could read that link. That would like triple the length of this segment.
No.
Next banned and restricted announcement, July 2nd, 2018.
Yep.
There you go. So,
very sorry to people.
Nothing is on fire.
Who were crying that Clan Ironworks or something in it needed to be banned. Very sorry to everyone who was complaining about Deathrite Shaman in Legacy.
Hey, and I'm sure that when we get to this modern event with the deck lists, I'm sure that we're going to find when we look at that WotC really should have just gone back and just banned Bloodbraid Elf and Jace the Mind Sculptor again, because I'm sure that they are just completely dominating those formats.
That is what lots of people said would happen, and therefore that is totally what is happening, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely got to be what is happening, that there is no way possible that Modern is strong enough and robust enough to deal with those two cards. No way.
Now, there was another ban and restricted announcement for 1v1 Commander.
And we are not reading that in its entirety.
No. I will read all the cards, though, because this is a spectacular shakeup of this format that, you know, some people play, supposedly.
Yeah, well, I mean, tune in for our 1v1 Commander podcast that we record on Thursdays.
No, that's when we record the Mana Pool.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The 1v1 Tuesdays. Commander got pushed to Friday.
Oh, man, I'm busy Friday.
Oh, I guess we just won't do it then, because no one's going to listen to
all
it.
All right. All right, that's
so
fine.
They have banned the following cards. Edgar Markov. This is not a joke, by the way. This is real.
Yeah,
Edgar
this one's
Markov.
Real. Yeah.
Edgar Markov. Oh, right. Chrome Mox, Ancient Tomb, Mox Diamond, Winter Orb, Sylvan Library,
that's
Worldly
fair.
Tutor, Sylvan Tutor. 8 cards have been banned from 1v1 Commander.
Take that, those cards.
But 4 cards have been unbanned. So Protean Hulk was unbanned, Mishra's Workshop, Bazaar of Baghdad for some
Which
reason.
Which I find insane. I don't understand what you would be doing in a 1v1 Commander deck with Bazaar of Baghdad, but okay.
And finally, Zul'Brand.
All right.
Has been unbanned. So those 4 cards have been unbanned. So there was a 12-card shakeup in this wildly popular format. I hear that Frontier might have had some changes to theirs as well. Maybe Tiny Leaders, maybe.
I was going to say Tiny Leaders.
How about old school Magic? I got nothing.
Yeah, but listen, I'm sure I apologize. We're not making fun of you. If you enjoy these formats, we're not making fun of you. We really aren't. I'm glad you enjoy them. It's just, I actually don't know anyone who plays 1v1 Commander. I'm sure people do. I don't know of anyone who does. I've played 1v1 Commander in that I could only find one other person to play at the time, and so we just played. That counts, right?
Let me go check, like, Commander. Well, I don't see anything. Okay, never mind. But yeah, I mean, we pick on these other formats like Frontier and Tiny Leaders and 1v1 Commander and whatnot, but that's all in good fun. If you enjoy it, by all means, enjoy it. But, you know, we have to pick on something, and Bill's not here. So
that's right.
So you 4-letter states, you're safe this week.
But anyway, least, and indeed at most,
this is the link is in the show notes, of course. So we had 2 GPs
indeed
this weekend. So since we already started talking about Modern, GP Hartford was Modern. There were 1,800 players even, and if it sounds like a suspiciously even number, I think that's because it was full.
I think it was, probably.
So
yeah.
They had to, you know, that was the cap. So that was how many were there. So in GP Hartford, 1,800 people playing Modern. And Matt Nass took it all down with the Clan Ironworks combo deck. that we have been seeing here and there whenever, I guess, people don't think to include hate. Because this is a deck that just dies to the proper hate, right?
I assume so.
Like, artifact hate or graveyard hate just tears right through it, in theory. So, yeah. But it won, so hey, go get a Matt Nass. In second place, Michael Mapson was playing Amulet Titan. Well, that doesn't run Bloodbraid Elf.
It doesn't. Must be a rogue brew. No?
Hmm. No, it looks pretty standard.
I know, you know, modern.
Sorry. That reminds me, last week, we completely whiffed on the fact that
we've whiffed on it again.
Was it the God Pharaoh's Gift deck?
Maybe? Question mark?
Hang on. Consummate professionals.
Stand by.
We were busy trying desperately to get through it last night before Clues conked out, because Clues was kind of loopy last week, if you couldn't tell.
I don't remember last week at all.
Exactly. Excuse me. Yeah, the blue-red God Pharaoh's Gift deck from last week's Standard Tournament is actually a new deck.
Huh.
Yeah, usually they were blue-white or Esper-colored. But, yeah, the red one is a whole new thing.
I think that blue-red is a strict upgrade over Esper.
Because of the addition of red, maybe?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. It was pointed out to us. Actually, I think literally minutes after the show went up, someone was like, no, that's a new deck, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, it is? Because we've seen all of these cards in all of these standard decks, just not together. So my apologies. They're running Fanatical Firebrand to have an easy way to throw things in the graveyard, and Combat Celebrant because, well, it just makes sense in the deck. So our apologies for missing that, but we don't play standard. We just report on what's here.
That's right.
We
have copy that's handed to us, which is really weird because we don't have writers, so...
There is that.
I'm sorry, we were on a modern tournament, weren't we? And I think we were on an Amulet Titan deck.
Yeah, that was... Now, third place, apparently, Kellen Pastor won with 0 cards in his deck. Can you see a deck on Kellen Pastor's Bogle's deck? Because I'm getting 0 cards.
No, I can't target them, so... I can't see them at all.
Okay, well, he was running, says Bogles.
Oh, let me try sample hand. Nope, nothing.
Okay, hang on. We'll just go to the top 8 deck lists article. Here we go. His, who did I say? Kellen Pastor's deck looks, well, that was a long,
yep, that looks
arduous
like
path for nothing, because it's a pretty normal Bogles deck. Okay.
You want to go read Comp Rules 805?
Not especially, no. Let's don't do that.
That's a callback to a thing you haven't heard. Okay, go ahead.
Feel free to become a patron and you will hear it. Gene Friedman in fourth place. Nope, wrong deck. Was running Burn.
Yes, excellent.
Good old modern Burn.
Oh, look at that. Grim Lavamancer in the main.
Yeah.
Seen him a bit. Look at him with that little lizard around his neck.
That's not a little lizard.
It's a medium-sized lizard.
Yeah, little lizards are those things.
Tiny dragon? Game. Would you believe tiny dragon?
I would believe tiny dragon.
All right. All right. I'll add that as a possible shoot dart.
Who's in fifth place? Matt Gron, let's say, is running elves.
I like elves. They're not as good as goblins, but, you know, they're okay.
Yeah, I've got the good old Izuri and Shaman of the Pack as finishers. You know,
Shaman of the Pack.
Wait, it wouldn't go brum, brum. What would it do?
I don't know.
Never mind.
I believe if you're not an elf, it would stab you.
Well, if you're on Lorwyn, it definitely would. In sixth place, Frank Skarren is running 0 cards. Seriously?
Really? Well, I mean, it is... No, you're right. Okay, let's go find Frank's deck. This is Decepticons, but I'm trying to see if it can actually lay claim to the name.
No, it can't. The only spells are...
No.
Well, the only spells are Galvanic Blasts.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah,
it's exactly what meets the eye.
Yep, he's running Decepticons, or as P. people that aren't Monday Night Magic call it Affinity for some reason, even though there are literally no Affinity cards. Why are there two deck lists that show up as zero? That's awkward.
I'm going to say something in a database is incorrect.
Let's go with that. In seventh place, Jonathan Sharp is running, hey, look, an actual Bogles deck.
Hey, we can target this one.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we can't, but I mean, it's here. I can at least see it.
It looks to be close enough to the same. And then in eighth place, Max McVady is running Hollow One. Is this the black red? This is the black red. I think all the others have pretty much fallen off because the black red one was just better.
Yeah, I mean, at least 50% of those colors are awesome.
Pretty sure 100% of those colors are awesome.
I said at least.
That is true. Technically, you weren't completely horribly wrong. So, yeah, good old Hollow One decks. Who'd have thought?
Why have I never actually seen the card Goblin Lore before?
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that card. That card happened just before I started playing. And
I guess technically it was a starter and a Portal Second Age card first, and then it was in 10th edition.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's why. Because it's really kind of useless except in decks like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a role.
And wait, do you play decks like this?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I don't. Zombie fish.
So there you go. That's your top eight. Moving to... Can we see the rest? Yeah, here we go. 9th through 16th. What else do we see? We've got...
Oh, well, did we point out that, in fact, and indeed, there were zero Bloodbraid Elves and zero Jace the Mind Sculptors in that top eight?
Well, you see, if you go to 9th, there are four Bloodbraid Elves, so clearly that's the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, surely.
Yeah.
How far do we have to go until we get...
I don't know. I'll tell you when we
well,
get there.
Well, I almost swore. I'm so sorry.
So we've
Jace
got...
the Mind Sculpt. Oh, there he is.
We've got Titan Shift in 9th. I guess these are in order? It doesn't say.
Yeah, there's no numbers.
It's possibly that that's not the case. Oh, is Jason... No, this is Blue Moon. Jace wouldn't be in
nope.
this.
11th.
Oh, wait. No, he's in the sideboard of the 10th place.
Okay, and he's in the main deck of the 12th place.
Ah, okay. We've got Living End. Look at that. Wow. Blue-black taking turns.
Stop taking my turns.
Isn't that usually blue-white?
Hmm.
Huh. It might not be. I might be making that up. Five-color Humans. Mardu Pyromancer.
Oh, Young Peasy.
There's another Hollow One. Here's Jund. Oh, wait,
oh,
that's...
There's definitely Bloodbraid Elves in the Jund deck.
Definitely, yeah. That's Jadeen in the Jund deck making the top 16. Check her out.
Nice.
I didn't...
Scooze.
Oh, he's in Taking Turns. I was like, I didn't see Jace.
Yeah, he's in the 12th place Taking Turns
yeah,
deck.
Yeah. At least we assume it's 12th place, anyway. So yeah, there you go. That's your modern top 16. Was there... Wow.
According to
metagame breakdown, there was...
Yeah, well, there were 15 distinct archetypes in the top 16. So modern's just fine, folks.
Hollow One being the only double up, I guess?
Yeah, it looks that way.
Nice. I guess it's okay that they didn't ban anything.
Let's see here. Looks like the deck with the most in day two was Affinity. With a whopping, I think they must have a decimal off someplace because I don't think this is actually going to add up to 100%. Because they claim that 0.095% of the field was Affinity. I don't.
And yet, that's the highest number?
And that's the highest number. It goes down from there. I don't think that's right. I'm going to guess it's actually 9.5%.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think they forgot the times 100 to make it a percentage.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Man, coverage is just on point this week, aren't they? Mm.
Indeed.
Two decks missing from the top eight.
In their defense, some of them had to go to the other side of the world and deal with drop bears, so.
Yeah, but this is Hartford.
Yeah, but I don't know which one actually posted it, right?
Oh, okay.
And drop bears. Come on, man.
Absolutely terrible.
They lost so many of their colleagues to drop bears.
Anyway, so that's Hartford. Pretty awesome.
Ta-da!
But there was another GP, as clues hinted at, on the other side of the damn world. Like, the Indeed. Other side both ways. Like, it's...
Yeah, just pick a direction, just keep going.
Yeah, and then when you get to the other side, go a different direction. Like, it's...
That's right. Turn.
There is a season.
So, except for Legacy. You don't really get a season. You just get the one GP.
You get the one, it. Yeah. And Clues yeah. is half asleep to talk about it. It's great.
Yeah.
So, I'm so sad about that. GP Sydney, there were 350 teams or 1,050 players.
All right.
You say teams, what? Yes, it was Team Unified Modern.
It was. And that is a weird format, man.
Very. So because it's a weird format, we're not going to go too deep on... decks.
Yeah, so as a reminder, the way these team unified events like this work, so let's say Squee, Chewy, and I decide to go play in this modern we decide to go play in this modern team unified event. If I'm playing a card, they can't have any copies of that card. It's not like we get four copies across our decks total. No. If I've got, say, Goblin Guide, nobody else gets Goblin Guide, and I'm going to have Goblin Guide. And if I've got Lightning Bolt, nobody else gets Lightning Bolts, and I'm going to have Lightning Bolt. So,
but Clues, can I have Lightning Bolt?
No, wait, I'm taking it.
What if I'm not on your team? Then can I have Lightning Bolt?
I'll give you one to the face.
Fair enough.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's why this format is kind of weird for us to talk about, because deck choices are going to be... I'm not going to say that they're going to be wrong, but they're going to be, it's going to be a strange metagame, because it's your team against another team where we all have these decks that there's no overlap. Sorry.
Wonky, I think.
Yes, wonky. It is definitely wonky.
The winners, and this is why it's important. The winners, the first place winners were the team of... Hang on, scrolling. This is Hartford. How did I get back to Hartford?
I don't know.
Here we go.
Maybe you really...
Shut up. So, the first place team was Lechlin Saunders, Ryan Lewis Johns, and Jessica Estefan. I'm going to hope that's how that's pronounced. It's yes.
At least as good as we ever do.
As yeah. So, yes, you heard that right. Jessica Estefan, I really hope I'm saying that properly, is the first woman to win... a Magic Grand Prix. Sick.
So there you go. History has been made. And you know what I think is really great about this story?
That history was made 2 weeks in a row?
You know what else I think is great about this story?
Ooh, what else?
That two of the three players of this team got to have this GP win in their hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Lewis Johns and Jessica Estefan?
Maybe?
Yeah, let's go with that. Are from Sydney. So that's pretty awesome. Their compatriot, Lachlan Saunders, is from Canberra. So that's cool, too. I got nothing against Canberra. The fact that any of you are alive in Australia is really just a testament to, how amazing you all are, is what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing, I don't know if you went and looked at the profiles, but... Squee will be happy to know that Lachlan Saunders lists as one of his favorite cards in modern Squee Goblin Nabob.
Nice. We'll have to be sure to tell him that.
Of course, Coverage also asked everyone their favorite flavor of Tim Tams, which is kind of weird, but it is Australia, so I understand. Some people out there know what that means, and you understand why that's interesting. If you don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all.
Apparently, original and double coat are popular answers.
They are. And, of course, the Tim Tam Slam is actually mentioned here, again, by Lachlan Saunders, who, I must say, is an interesting character.
Oh, and then we have Dark Chocolate. Dark Chocolate left blank, such self-control. Huh. All right, there you go. Anyway, back to the thing. The second place team is Aiden Frisch, James O'Rourke, and Jacob Golding. Third place was Benny Yao, Matthew Bojard, let's say, and Jonathan Venturi. And fourth place is Dirk Krasto, Matt Rogers, and Nick Barlow. So congrats to everyone, and a special congrats to the winning team for making history. That is awesome. I kept seeing tweets. They're like, this is the first woman ever to win a Grand Prix. I'm like, no, she's not. And when I looked it up, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
We've had Pro Tour top eights. We've had GP top eights. We've never had a woman actually win. I'm like, oh, whoops. Silly me.
Now, I also notice, and this is just an observation that I just made just now looking at these profiles. A lot of these folks are relative. I'm going to describe it as relatively young to Magic. I'm not going to say they're necessarily young and need to get off my lawn, although that is true. But a lot of them, you know, they, one of the questions they asked was how long have they been playing? And a lot of them are things like Gatecrash, Born of the Gods since 2009-ish, Dragon's Maze. That was an answer here. There are a couple who have been around for a while. So like one, Ryan Lewis-Johns since original Ravnica, 12 years, another player had answered. And I like this one, back when fetch lands were still legal in Standard.
Nice.
So yeah. But other than that, a lot of new folks, and that's great.
Oh, here we go. Matthew Bojard is played 4th edition until 5th edition, and then started again with Dragons of Tarkir because... Everyone you know either used to play Magic or knows someone that used to play Magic, other than you.
We're similar to a cult.
We kind of are. So, yes. Anyway, so that was GP Sydney.
Yep. Excitement.
Oh, there was a thing about Hartford we forgot to cover while we were talking about Hartford.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there was a thing that I wanted to mention. So I was... I was watching, you know, a few things on the interwebs over the weekend as I was dodging the ice storm that we had here in Michigan because it is mid-April, so of course that's going to happen. You just got to expect that. I'm being facetious, of course, but there we are. No, not about the ice storm because that really happened, but that it... Anyway, I'm sorry. Where was I? Yes. And I had some terrible flashbacks to GP Vegas 1. So I was at the original GP Vegas, which was a big deal. If you don't know what that's all about, ask your parents.
I was too.
They will probably... not know what you're talking about and tell you to go away. But still, back at GP Vegas, we had this issue of there was a bunch of product that was supposed to come for the sealed GP event that we were going to have. And the product hadn't shown up like at all. It apparently, as I recall, that product got shipped to the wrong place and had to be put on a chartered plane, flown to Nevada. And I don't think it was even flown into Nevada. I think it was flown into a different state and then trucked in. And it arrived in the middle of the morning and they had to unload it all, like, in the middle of the morning. Well, they had a similar thing happen at GP Hartford for their GP stuff, like the GP kits, the product for limited events, all that kind of stuff that was going to go on. It apparently didn't show up and didn't show up and didn't show up. And then finally, like, the very last minute... a magic convoy arrived. And that is a quote from an update from Channel Fireball Events. So that gave me flashbacks. I feel for everybody who was involved behind the scenes on that, because I know how nerve-wracking that can be, because you've got magic players who have shown up and have paid and would like to play in your event, and you have no cards to give them, and that is really, really rough. But in the end, it all turned out okay. I mean, except that they were in Hartford.
And... so they had to, like, they had to cancel some of the day one events, right?
Yeah, they canceled some of the morning events, as I understand. Stuff was supposed to start at, like, 10:30, and it was pushed back to later in the day. My guess is there was probably someone who was sent out with a van who was just sent to go to any game stores anywhere nearby to buy product and bring it there in last-minute panic.
Nice.
But that's just a guess. I don't know. I wasn't there.
That's true. You weren't there. But, you know, hats off to everyone who managed to make it work.
Yeah. And so hopefully everybody enjoyed their Grand Prix events and their playing of the Magics.
Yay, the Magics. Dude, I did that recently.
Played the Magics?
Yeah.
Yeah?
On stream.
Hey, I was there. Not in person, but on the stream.
Yeah, Mike actually came over and brought some Masters 25, and we did a Winchester draft. It was very entertaining. Oh, I've played other Magic, too, since then.
Oh, yeah. Hey, no, wait. Hold off on that.
Hold off on that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hold off on that. But put a note down here someplace. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Because we got some other news to talk about, right? And we should probably get through the other news before we go all digressing. We did a lot of digressions already. I think we got to pace ourselves.
Correct.
Otherwise, we will lose the audience.
So yeah, I'm sure anyone who was going to get lost was lost after about 3 minutes.
Frankly, if they found this podcast, they were already lost.
There is that. Yeah. So the comp rules changes and Oracle changes for Dominaria have been revealed.
Yeah. There might be a few of those.
Yeah, the comp rules changes. There's a lot here. Most of it involves all the new stuff and the various rules changes, like the Planeswalker redirection rule and things like that.
Yeah, that one's kind of important. A lot of it's just cleaning up things that, you know, used to refer to stuff that doesn't work that way exactly. And it's not like a huge sudden shift in the rules. It's just that, you know, we don't redirect to Planeswalkers anymore, and cards don't say mana pool anymore. And, you know, it's a lot of little stuff. I mean, you can dig through the comp rules changes if you want to. We did some digging, and I might have done a lot of digging, and Chewy kind of made me stop, and that's probably for the best. Otherwise, we wouldn't have actually started recording this show. That's how much digging I was doing. But for the most part, don't worry too much about these.
He had two shovels, y'all.
I did. One for each hand.
Yeah, he was John Henry of shovels. Like, he was...
I shovel well. Something important that may come up at... There are some minor changes to two-headed giant rules.
Correct.
That aren't as drastic as they sound that may come up this weekend, because it is pre-release, so people might have two-headed giant events that they're heading to. So when you attack, apparently you are attacking a player or a planeswalker. You're not just attacking the team. This does not change how blocking works. Blocking works how it did before. We Kibler Googled that directly from...
I was going to Kibler Google nothing. I asked the rules manager directly on Twitter.
Actually, Chewy just went right to the horse's mouth. And there we go. So... minor thing, that one might come up. But, I mean, other than that, this is stuff that, for the most part, don't worry too much about it.
But yeah, if you are playing two-headed giant at the pre-release, you have to attack one of the players. Everything else is the same, you just have to say who you're attacking so that, the one example it gives here, saboteur triggers. Like, when this deals combat damage, do a thing that's more easily anticipated, or meaningfully anticipated.
Yeah, it used to be that you would attack the team, and then if there was an effect that cared, then you declared. But now, look, just pick somebody.
Yeah.
Just do it right now. If something cares, fine. If nothing cares, we don't care.
Pretty much.
And just attack the Planeswalkers, specifically Jace. I know there won't be any Jaces this weekend, because it's pre-release and he's not really in this set. But attack him anyway.
Fair enough. Now...
You can also attack the darkness. That's also acceptable.
Fair enough. Now, the Oracle changes are vast.
Whew, yes, they are. Oh,
because the Planeswalker, the removal of the Planeswalker redirection rule means lots of things got errata for things that can be aimed at Planeswalkers, things that can't.
Good God, this list goes on forever.
They've also changed the singular they as pronouns instead of he or she. So a bunch of cards that used to say he or she or his or her got changed. All of them, in fact. Cards that refer to themselves on the stack have the this spell thing, and cards that refer to the mana pool don't anymore. But because that's how wording is going to be going forward, the Oracle text on all of these cards had to be changed. So I think if you take all of those into consideration, I think everything except for vanilla creatures and French vanilla creatures basically have errata now.
Yeah, pretty much. This is a lot of errata.
Luckily...
A lot of errata, that's a good name.
Almost all of it is non-functional. Some of the things that can't be redirected to Planeswalkers actually change how cards work. Meaning, you know, you can't... And to redirect that to your Planeswalker doesn't work that way anymore.
Doesn't work that way anymore. Yeah, here's my kind of shorthand for this, and this is just a shorthand, like honest to God, call a judge for the most part. But if you've got a card that deals damage that cares about like libraries or creatures things control, anything that a planeswalker couldn't do that thing, you can't hit a planeswalker with that, period. So that's pretty straightforward. Like, you know, if it's going to deal damage equal to half the number of cards in your library rounded up, well, a planeswalker doesn't have a library, so it doesn't do that. The other one is anything that refers to dealing damage to each creature and each player. Okay, if we also included planeswalkers in that set of things, it would make those cards way too damn good. So those don't do that. So that covers, like, I think, like 90% of the cases where stuff didn't get eroded. So just keep those things in mind.
Yeah.
And call a judge.
Yeah. All right, then.
And tell them hello and thank you for judging.
All right, then. So the last thing, as far as I can tell, the last thing that I have open is the tokens of Dominaria. Revealed, and these are neat.
They are pretty sweet. My favorite, can you guess my favorite?
The goblin and the catapult?
Yeah, actually, it's my second favorite.
The goblin is?
My actual proper favorite
is the knight.
The stained glass knight. Oh, man, does that look so cool.
Yes, is the answer. It does.
So freaking cool. But the goblin and the catapult is a very close second. I intend to get me some of those.
So, yeah, there you go. I also really like the construct.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Or it's pretty awesome. I don't know.
Into that. But the construct is apparently, we determined this on the mana pool, its art is a callback to the original Beast of Burden, and I think the second art for Beast of Burden, if I remember correctly.
Burden.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that.
So if you look at Beast of Burden, the original art from,
is that 7th?
Urza's Legacy is the original.
Oh, yeah.
Is a thing that looks very much like Karn, because Karn is from the same series, apparently, holding a thing. But then the 7th edition already is holding a thing that looks more like what the construct is holding.
Yeah.
So we think it's a callback to those two. Because everything is a callback to everything in Dominaria. The harder you look, the more stuff you'll find.
Pretty much. It's like one of those magic eye things where it's a boat, but then you keep looking and now it's a duck.
I hate magic eye things because I've only ever been able to see one.
Okay, well, it's a boat.
And it was the words, the end. And I was so pissed. Because it was the last one in a book somewhere, apparently.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I see it. Really? Like, it was, it's not cool.
Was there swearing?
There was. Anyway. So yeah, there's been a thing bouncing around the internet about how the name of every set in Magic is included somewhere on all of the cards in Dominaria.
Every set that was set on Dominaria is definitely in there. I don't know about all other sets.
I think it's
just the ones that were set on Dominaria.
Because I was wondering how they were going to fit Arabian Nights onto cards.
Yeah, like I said.
Oh, that makes more sense. That's a lot of sets.
Now, I can't remember. Do the comp rules and Oracle changes, do those go into effect as of the pre-release or as of the release?
No idea.
Okay, it's one of the two. I'm going to say they go into effect on a random Wednesday in July.
Fairly certain that is...
It's not true. It's
objectively
false. But I'm
going to
say that, and I have said it, and I can't take it back now.
Sure. Doesn't actually say when it goes live.
Yeah, I know. I checked before I asked because I didn't want to sound silly if it was just written right there. But it's not written right there. I'm sure somewhere it's been announced, but it would be great if they just stuck that in the article where they're like, hey, here are the rules changes. They will take effect sometime. Because yeah. I can't remember. It's probably on an Instagram someplace.
All right. So there's one more thing in the show notes that Clues wanted to say something about.
There is. Oh, yeah. Hey, there is. Yeah, is it this one that I've got highlighted right here?
It is.
That's high lit.
Yeah.
We've got a new set coming out. Oftentimes when sets are happening, the nice folks at Wizards will create a survey to ask about your opinions about the set, what's going on, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. So that survey is open as of right now. Like if you listen to this if you're listening to this right now as we record it, that's creepy. But if you are, it's open right now. I can't guarantee it will be open by the time you actually listen to this. And here's where I'm confused. This is the Dominaria survey. So it is in theory, I haven't started it because I didn't want to take the survey yet because I don't know the answer to this question. This is a survey about Dominaria, which basically none of us have played yet. So how do we take a survey about a product we haven't actually had yet? Do we wait until we actually play it, then take the survey? Because the problem I've had with all these surveys, I've only ever managed to do like one of them because I see the survey and I'm like, oh, I'll fill that out once I have some experience with those cards. And then even if I go and play like immediately, I then come back and the survey's closed. Yep. So I don't know how long these are open. I don't know when they close. And I don't know why it's open now and not after the pre-release, unless they want feedback before the pre-release. And it's unclear to me. I am plagued with indecision.
Not just about this, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, my life is just littered with indecision, quite frankly.
Littered
with indecision. I'm just going to add that here.
Oh my God. So, yeah.
So no answer for me there?
No, I got nothing.
Mr. Chewy Man?
Okay. I don't fill those out anyway, so.
Okay, all right. Well, if you are so inclined to give some honest feedback, and please, honest feedback only, right? Let's take this seriously. If you're so inclined, there it is. Survey. Ta-da.
All right. Are we done? We're done, right?
Well, I mean, there's a little tidbit of MTGO news. I mean, Squee's not here to cover this, but...
And we're going to scale back on the MTGO news unless there's anything to actually talk about anyway.
Yeah, and the only important thing that I know of to talk about is that you will be able to play Dominaria on MTGO starting April 20th. April the 20th. That is right. That is pre-release day. Yep. You can just start playing on pre-release day.
Yeah, that's Friday.
Yeah, so I believe it's just sealed leagues starting on Friday. I don't know. Maybe there's other stuff. The point is you can play with those cards in some function, some way, on the 20th.
And
there you go.
If this note from last week is to be believed, Brawl will be available the 18th on Magic Online.
Yes, I believe that is correct as well.
So, yeah, there you go. That's a little bit of Magic Online news.
Ta-da!
Yay! So, if you would like to get in touch with Squee, then you can find him on Twitter, at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because it's in Chicago. Duh.
That's right.
And I don't really know of any reason or anything to tweet at Squee with no context.
Yeah, neither do I. You know what? Just see how he's doing. You know, if you want to strike up a conversation with Squee, that's a great place to do it. Other than that, let him enjoy Chicago.
As much as one can.
As much as one can when it's, you know, frozen.
So how about you, Mr. Clues? Dr. Clues?
Mid-April. Hey, if you'd like to hear more from me, you can do that on the other podcast I'm on, which is Random Discard. Found at randomdiscard.com or right here on the MTGcast Network. We've had a little trouble recording lately because last time we tried to record, my co-host Rich was at work until like 9:30 at night and he called me up and he's like, yeah, I'm not online right now to record because I'm just leaving work. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool, man. Things happen. The thing is, the time we tried to record before that, same thing happened, but it was me this time, not him. So one of these days we won't both get tied up on our recording night because it's tough to schedule these things, but. Yeah, so sorry about that. Our bad. If you'd like to talk to me directly, your best bet is on the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. I do want to say a big shout out to anybody going out to a pre-release this weekend. I think it's a pretty awesome looking set, and I hope everybody gets a chance to play it. I know I'm intending to go out to a pre-release, and I will say that my goal for the pre-release, let me give you my goal and then what I think will actually happen. My goal is to open and then play with a Jaya because, well, I really like red planeswalkers, and I think that would be awesome.
Makes sense.
And I would cram it into a deck even if my colors did not support it. I would go ahead and play Jaya anyway, just cause.
Triple red splash.
What's actually going to happen is I'm going to open the Jaya token, the emblem, and I'll just have that to look at and know what could have been. What could have been. So there you go. So please do get out and support your local game store if at all possible. If you're in the Durham, North Carolina area, I recommend that you check out Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. And I'm sure that they are running some events this weekend for the pre-release. Tell them Clues said hi.
Look, Clues, I try not to think about what might have been.
Yeah.
Because that was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in. And there's no way to know what might have been.
I'm pretty sure these are song lyrics, but I can't place it.
It's What Might Have Been by Little Texas.
Okay. All right. I'll look into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Over to you, the Chewy.
So I was told to wait and bring this up later. So, hey, it's later.
Yeah, this is the perfect time to bring that thing up.
Yeah, so
if you remember what that thing is.
I do. So due to the generosity of one Will, who is...
just one Will, not multiple Wills?
No, it was just the one. On Twitch, he is Soge King Usopp, which is apparently an anime thing. But he somehow ended up with two keys, beta keys, to Magic Arena. So... he sent one to me. I was like, oh. And I tried the code and it worked. So I streamed some Magic Arena on whatever day that was. Friday? Saturday? It was one of those days. And
was it Friday? I thought it was Sunday. Maybe it was Saturday. If it was Friday, I would have caught some of it.
Oh. Well, it actually doesn't matter what day it was because...
Well, regardless, you did. And hey, how'd that go, man?
So after playing for... about 4 hours, which felt, I'm not going to lie, like about six. I was like, man, I've been playing for a long time. And I looked over and it had only been about 2.5 hours. And I was like, oh, that's not a good sign. it's all right.
Okay.
So
I have to ask the question. You know what question I'm about to ask, right?
I do not.
As an avid Hearthstone player.
Uh-huh.
How does it compare?
It does not.
Okay. Literally, these things cannot be compared.
Well, Hearthstone and Magic are two totally different games.
No, I agree. It's just the experience as a whole. Okay. We're saying you're playing a different game.
Correct.
But how does this package of the game compare to that package of that game?
Well, that package of that game is built to be played that way. Magic is not. And you can kind of tell. But now, don't get me wrong, Magic Arena is not bad. It's not bad at all. But in my opinion, it's also not good. Now, granted, it is still in beta. So it's not like this is a final product that's just not good.
Could you get more specific for us? What exactly about it is, quote, not good?
So, let's see. The main problem that I kept having over and over is just lack of clarification on what the hell things are.
Okay.
So if somebody puts a +1/+1 counter on a creature, its power and toughness will change on the card, which is good. And it will get a little graphical indication of a token or a counter, rather.
Yeah.
But there's no way to know what that counter is. Now, obviously a +1/+1 counter, you know, because the power and toughness have gone up. But if you don't know the base power and toughness of a card, you know, you just...
So okay. there's a thing over there that's a 4/4, and you know that it's a 4/4 because it's got a thingy on it, but you don't know if the thingy weren't there, what would that be?
Right. Now, this was especially for the freaking, the black, the elder dinosaur thing, Tetsulama, I don't know his name. The thing that you can reveal from your hand for some mana and put a...
Oh, yeah, I know that card.
I'm gonna kill that counter on it.
Right.
That counter is just on my card, and I don't know what it is.
Right. And so if you hover over that, you can't, it doesn't say, this is the I'm gonna kill you
token. And if you right click on it, there's no indication of what it is. there's a little thing over on the corner that's got an hourglass and three dots and an X1 or an X0 or what. I don't know what that is. People in chat kept telling me, and I'm like, it's fine that you're telling me that, but it doesn't tell me that in the game. I have no idea what this is. At one point, I was trying to think of a play, and it popped up on my screen, use the timeout. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Okay, huh? So I'm gonna make an analogy here. Bear with me. It's going to take us a little while to circle back around to this, okay?
Oh, God.
So I don't know if you've experienced this. I suspect you have. But you get the phone call from your parents, and they're like, my cell phone doesn't work. And you're like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, I can't get it to do X. And you're like, oh, well, you just need to go change that in the menu. And they're like, well, where do I do that? And you're like, okay, so I need you to swipe down from the top of the screen. No. I mean, swipe down. This is an Android thing. Swipe down from the, it'll bring up a menu, swipe down again, hit the little thing that looks like a gear, because of course that's where settings are. Is it kind of this problem that there's an interface that has been designed that is totally intuitive to someone who already knows it, and totally opaque to someone who doesn't?
So as someone who had to, who learned how to use like Apple products completely blind.
Yep. Sure.
I don't think so, because once you, like, if you poke around long enough, there will be an explanation somewhere. Like, as far as I could tell, the only explanation of this is chat telling me. There's no like tutorial. Well, like, hey, this is what this on the screen means. There's no indication if you right click on it or mouse over it or anything. It's just there. And it's guess you're supposed to learn what it is by screwing it up, which is not how you do a game like
this. It's designed
this.
For streamers by streamers. So
sure. I mean, like I said, the thing that I came to at the end was, if this wasn't a Magic game, I would not continue playing it. But because it's Magic, I will continue playing it. And I'm sure that some of my little more, like, annoyance things will go away as I get used to it. That's normal. But I don't know. It looks like, I think the UI just needs kind of an overhaul.
Okay.
Like, it's not terribly obvious whose turn it is. If you have, now, mind you, I was doing all this, like, on, not on full control mode. I also don't play Magic Online. So anyone who's like, well, if you play Magic Online, I don't. So stop sure. right there. And this is not for people that play Magic Online. This is for people to play Hearthstone. So if you're like, well, if you play Magic Online, it's easy. Well, you are not the target audience. Go play Magic Online. Now, if they're trying to get new people into play using this product, right now it will fail. But that's what betas are for, and it's still a closed beta. So there's still a lot of work to be done. So that's good that they will probably, almost certainly, put in the work to clean up all of this fiddly nonsense that annoys me or makes no sense. Like, for instance, if you have an instant in hand.
Yeah. Like, say, then, Lightning Bolt?
Like, say, Lightning Bolt. It was Lightning Strike, actually. Sure. Then you will get, it will stop at every chance that you could use it and just wait and pop up a little, you know, combat button. You know, if your opponent is like, okay, go to combat, it'll give you a thing that was like, okay, you can go to combat. But it, especially for me who is streaming, I'm like trying to pay attention to chat and like answer questions and whatnot. And I look back over and it's like combat. I'm like, did I just skip my main phase? Well, no, it's my opponent's turn. But the indicator for whose turn it is kind of not obvious.
Well, doesn't that also give, if that only happens when you've got an instant in your hand,
yeah,
doesn't
it gives your
that
opponent,
also
yeah.
give your opponent information about what's in your hand?
Yeah, but it also does that if there's like a instant speed thing on the board.
Because like, that seems really, if I'm bluffing because I got three lands in hand and I don't want my opponent to know that I've just got a bunch of lands and so I'm hanging on to them, that seems like he'd know I can just go ahead and do this. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but then that also keeps games from taking forever for people that feel like they need a bluff. So I'm okay with that particular aspect of it. But it's just, it's not very polished, which it's not supposed to be yet. So that's good. That's why I'm going to keep playing, is to continue finding issues and, you know, giving them feedback and whatnot. And like I said, I'm not saying it's bad, because it's not bad. I just don't think it's good yet either. But then I didn't play Hearthstone during the beta. I've only ever played, you know, finished Hearthstone. So
the polished product.
Yeah, so I'm sure once it's out and polished, it'll be great. But I still think card acquisition is probably kind of a nightmare. Like, at the moment, your daily rewards are on wins. So, there's no reason to bother playing a game if you, like, have a bad start. Screw it, just concede and go to the next one. Which gives your opponent a free win. Hey, cool! But,
I gotta say, my primary worry, and I do have high hopes for MTG Arena. I really do. My primary worry and concern about it is that right now it's really just Windows. They claim it's coming, quote, to other systems later, unquote. But what do they mean by that? And I don't know. And unless they've got some strategy to have it on mobile platforms, I think that's a problem long term.
Well, they got to make it work before. This was a huge discussion in my chat while I was playing. They've got to make it work on Windows.
So make it work anywhere first. And then
before they bother. Hearthstone didn't come to phones until it'd been out for like 2 years. Maybe 1 year. 1.5? I don't remember. But like, since I've been playing, Hearthstone came to phones. And not only since I've been playing, but since I was consuming like Hearthstone content, which took a while for me to actually bother with. But when the phone thing first happened, you could tell when someone was playing on a phone. Because it actually takes more button presses to do things.
Sure.
Like, you have to tap your hand to make it come up so that you can play it. And when things are rushed, like when the turn is running, your turn is running out, like it's obvious, or it was back then when people were literally just learning how to play on the phone, how obvious it is if someone's on a phone or not. So I'm not worried about that at all. That's the thing for the far future once it's out of beta and is stable and is working. that's a whole different concern. I'm more concerned about the game we have rather than the game that we hope to have. Hopefully, eventually it'll be out on every mobile device known to man, and Mac and Linux and PC, and probably not consoles, because let's face it, as much as you enjoyed Duels of the Planeswalkers back in the day, no. But anyway, so that's just my short, quick capsule review of 4 or so hours with Magic Arena. It's all right.
Okay.
I will keep playing it, like I said, to learn the ins and outs and acquire more cards and whatever. It does give you the 10 starter decks, which are neat. Like, they're all terrible. But well, like, as far as constructed Magic goes, they're terrible. Yeah, they're starter decks, you know.
I understand.
But they are, at least the ones I played, and I played several of them, are fun. So, yeah. But I think some tweaks, updates, and whatnot will fix all the problems I have with it and make it relatively... I think the problems I have with it are relatively easy to fix. So, you know, it's not bad.
All right.
It sounds like I'm dumping on it, but that's what betas are for. They're there for you to bitch about all the things that suck so that they can fix it.
We would expect there to be rough edges at this point.
Yes. But it's not like it's literally unplayable or anything like that. No. I really need to get... Like, I skipped an attack that cost me the game once because I had a... Oh, God, what is he? He's a dude you could sacrifice to or tap to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dude that taps to give something haste. And he was my creature, and I hit combat, and it was like... And the button said attackers. So I said yes, and I tapped my guy. Like, I clicked on my guy, and he turned sideways, and I was like, sweet! And then they didn't take any damage. Because the button that said attackers was actually the go-to attackers button. So what I did was tap my guy to give nothing haste. Because it didn't say, who do you want to target? Because there weren't any targets other than him. He was literally the only thing on the board.
Right.
So it just auto-tapped him and said, right, you wanted to tap him to give him haste. It didn't say, choose a target.
Very well.
Or
we'll
are
do
you
that.
Sure? Or anything like that. And that made me angry.
I see.
So it was also so another complaint. It seems to be inconsistent over when it wants me to do things manually and when it wants to do them for me. If that makes sense. Like, I had to turn off auto tap because auto tap is actually bad for lands. It's actually bad. Don't use auto tap. Just tap your mana. Just and it's on by default. So if you get into the beta, turn that off. Like, it didn't take, what, 3 games for auto-tap to screw me? And I'm like, oh, well, we're done with that now. So, because the priority it puts on lands is really bizarre. Like, it wanted to, like, it left one of my deserts with an activated ability to last, which, you know, would be fine, but I needed it to be able to make white mana without costing me life. And it couldn't, because it tapped all of my other dual lands and plains first and just left me with this plain, with this desert that I have to pay life to get white mana out of. And I was like,
that's totally what you wanted.
Yeah. So again, that's a minor complaint, which is my fault for not turning off auto tap. So, hey, there you go. But yeah, sometimes it's like, yes, I will totally do this thing automatically. And other times it's like, are you sure? Pick a target. Do this. Are really? Right? Okay. Like some things that say target opponent, it wants me to actually, even though there's only one, it wants me to point at that opponent. And then other times it's like, doing it. I'm like, all right. It was just weird. Rough edges. Anyway, I'm going to stop ranting about Arena now.
All right.
Because I will be streaming it some more, try to get a better feel for it, things like that. Also, that Elder Dinosaur thing.
Yeah.
How did that card ever get printed? Jesus.
I don't know, but it was an all-star for the wife and I when we played Two-Headed Giant.
Yeah, because essentially what I'm playing is like fancy sealed. Like I'm playing essentially limited with 60 card decks, right?
Sure.
Because of, you know, the starter decks and the couple of cards I've been able to accumulate since then. And it's busted in in the pseudo limited that I'm playing. I don't have one. It's my opponents that have them. So yeah, that's fun. Anyway. So for everything else, now if you want to see me stream Arena and Hearthstone and Overwatch and all the other, The Walking Dead, all that other stuff that I stream, then it's on twitch.tv/themanapool. Come hang out, drop me a follow, subscribe if you like, cheer with some bits, whatever you like. If you have Twitch Prime, you get one free subscription, that is, every month that you have to manually use, and I highly recommend you use it on us smaller streamers.
But I wanted a sandwich.
You can go get a sandwich too, it's fine, but that has nothing to do with Twitch Prime. You just have to link your Amazon Prime and your Twitch account, and then you can go give out your one free subscription token every month. Now, if you'd rather see the pre-recorded stuff, then you can check out youtube.com/themanapool, where I play the video games. And also, there's the podcasts on YouTube, the video version of the podcast. For those of you that can get to YouTube easier than you can wherever else. Yay, so I'm going to shut up now. So you can find me on Twitter @TheManapool, and if you want to help support what I do with the two podcasts a week, and the Twitch streaming, and the YouTube, and all of that, then by all means, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/TheManapool, where you can get Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get... Speaking of Patreon, it seems to not want to go where I tell it to. There we go. You can get the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, the behind-the-scenes nonsense of us talking about other nerdy things or setting up
and
the show. Or
there is nonsense.
Or just listen to cues to cues swearing. Listen to clues swearing.
There we go. There is swearing on the odds and ends.
It's true. And if you want, you can get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and become a Manapool lifeguard. Get it? Manapool lifeguard? It's funny. And get your name on the end slate for all the videos that go up each month that you support at that tier, and you'll get a shout out on both podcasts. So to that end, I'd like to thank the following extremely generous lifeguards. Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Rafe Gall, Corey Clotier, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Team ULSRU, John Morris, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bertain, Casey, Nathan Hay, Danny Liao, Jason Doan. I could not get to the mute button, I apologize. Jason Doan, AJ Javieres, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburned, and Aaron Goodwine, the Beast Father. Thank you all so very much. I quite literally couldn't do it without you. And with that, we'll be done. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 603. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.